Rookie Thievers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, another Rookie Fever player profile. For this show, I'm here with Austin at Devi Dietz on Twitter, a founder of Campus to Canton, Devi Debates Podcast. Austin, I'm really glad to finally hook up with you. I want to know, though, like, what was the brainchild of Campus to Canton? How did this all get moving? Because I see the gears grinding, and I don't feel like people can stop this. So, like, it's been, and I've said it to any of your guys I've talked with, it's been a pleasure to watch you guys come up in the community. And I don't know if it's always easy to say that about everybody, but just something about the way you guys have doing it, I'm really enjoying watching you. So shout out to you guys, Campus Canton. But what the heck happened, dude? You guys are killing it.
Yeah, well, first off, thank you so much for having me on here. Felix already came on. He did adequate. My goal today is to be better than adequate. We'll see, you know, if by the end of the show, if that has happened.
He's got the longest show right now to Austin, which isn't really, it's not necessarily an honor to have the longest show. And then Katie Flower killed it with a 22-minute show.
Hers was like, concise, to the point. She got the info out there. Yeah, Felix, you know, wanders here and there while he gets from point A to point B.
Maybe he'll do better now that he's got those rabbit feet.
Rub one there while you're talking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, thank you so much for having me on. And honestly, when people say stuff like it's been, you know, nice to see you guys rising, like that's the stuff that makes me happiest about kind of what we've been doing. We started up last year. Well, it originally started myself and my co-host on the Campus to Canton podcast, Colin Decker, said, you know, we're playing in these Campus to Canton leagues that are like underground at this point. Like there's zero information out there. Like it's like you have to have a secret password on Twitter to even find one of these. Like let's make some of this a little more, you know, out there, accessible, like raise some awareness of what this thing is. It was just supposed to be the two of us. At the time, I was working at Dynasty Nerds. Matthew Bruning, Felix Sharp were there as well. We kind of hooked up. We started Devi Debate. So we were doing that podcast. And then just like a bunch of different factors kind of came together. And there were six of us. The four I already mentioned, Alfred Fernandez and Jarek Backus as well. We're 22 strong now, I believe. This offseason, you know, we went through last year, our first year. And, you know, we had live shows on Saturdays before and after college football. Like we had a bunch of stuff that, you know, nobody else is really doing. We're kind of always just trying to think of the next thing that no one's thought of yet. So this offseason, our big goal has been we're diversifying the site. We're now specializing in college fantasy and Devi as well. So we're not just a place if you want Campus to Canton information, like you can find other college based info. And we're dipping our toes into recruiting. We just announced the other day we're doing a full guide on our top freshmen coming in this year for fantasy purposes down the road. 184 profiles that we did. I just got the finished product yesterday from the person that was helping us put it together. It looks awesome. So I'm very excited to see where this continues to go. We'll both be at Canton. I'm sure we'll be talking it up at the expo this summer and just hopefully moving on from there.
Absolutely, man. We're going to continue to watch you grow and push you out. We'll give you some retweets, whatever we can do. And then Devi Debates, we mentioned that. Tune into that podcast. But they're dying. Well, they saw in the show title. Let's not be shy about it. They know who we're talking about today. Dying to know why you picked this player. George Pickens, the Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
Your guy, how are you feeling?
So I do love George Pickens. And it's funny, when you asked me, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago at this point, you know, who do you want? Here's kind of the guys that are already taken. I said, oh, yeah, give me Pickens. The debate on George Pickens hadn't really started yet on Twitter. And I was like, okay, like I'll kind of dip in here. Like I'll get the first word on this. And now like it's kind of been beaten. Like everyone's been talking about George Pickens. But I do still feel like it's a really good time to kind of talk about him, especially from the standpoint of someone who's been watching him for, you know, the 3 years that he's been in college. And kind of, you know, acknowledge he's not a perfect prospect, but I think he's got a lot of things that people are going to like, that the NFL is going to like. And I think he's going to surprise some people, you know, in the next year or two in terms of where, you know, where he gets drafted and how he plays.
Yeah, I've seen everybody saying from he's going to be a bust to the next wide receiver one. I've seen him comp to AJ Green. Is that crazy to think of him as that? He's a bigger guy, 6'3", only about 200 pounds, right?
Yeah, I have him at 6'3", 200. That's what Georgia listed him at. And that he looks about that big, you know. Sometimes you can kind of tell if these guys aren't close to what they're listed at. Wandale being a perfect example of that. Pickens looks, you know, 6'3", 195-ish or whatever. So, yeah, yeah. And he's, you know, I think AJ Green's a good comparison. I think he got a lot of those comparisons as a freshman because he did break out as a true freshman at Georgia, a place that has traditionally, especially in the past decade or so, not been great for wide receiver development. You really can't think of a lot of guys that have come out of there and been successful because of the offenses that they kind of run. No, it's a running back haven, not so much quarterback wide receiver. But as a true freshman, 49 catches, 727 yards, 8 touchdowns, led the team in receiving. And I think, you know, he was a 5-star kid. It's not like he came out of nowhere. He was very, very highly heralded coming out of high school. But I think, you know, that really put him on the map. AJ Green comp felt really fair to me. And now we've had these last 2 years, which were just disappointing. And those are the guys that I think end up kind of being steals in your rookie drafts because they're out of sight, out of mind for a while. And now all of a sudden you have to make a decision on them. And that it sneaks up on people, I think. So, yeah, I mean, he's just a fascinating player and a fascinating debate.
Yeah. So in your Devy leagues, is he somebody that you're trying to get today before we see those landing spots? Do you think that, you know, if he, because he's in the right situation, once that happens, you know, I mean, even here at Rookie Fever, we're going to create some narratives and a lot of other people are too. Do you think that maybe today's the time to make the move in your Devy leagues?
After the combine is kind of the time where you target that, where he comes in and he runs a 4.58. It's kind of around where I think he ends up running because people are going to be disappointed by that. That's not shiny, good number, you know. So I like that. That's the one where I think you come out and you kind of say, okay, like people are probably going to sour here when they shouldn't be. You know, that's kind of double counting a negative. Like we already know he's not fast. He's going to show up and prove that he's not fast. Don't double count that. That's the time I think where you go and try to get a guy like George Pickens if you can. That'll be your sweet spot.
Yeah. So at that point, I mean, do you have a landing spot that you have in mind that you could get the perceived ceiling that you want?
It's a good question. You know, so right before the season started, I wrote an article at Campus Canton just saying, you know, 10 bold predictions for 2021. And one of them was George Pickens suffered a knee injury in their spring season. It was unclear whether he would come back this year or not, really even, you know, try to come back, or if you kind of just say, screw it, like, I'll go to the NFL. One of my bold predictions was George Pickens does not play at all this year, and he still goes in the first round of the NFL draft. Obviously, he came back right before the playoff, played a little bit there. Georgia won the championship. He had a couple catches in that game. And now I'm unsure if he goes in the first round. So I probably missed on both accounts there. But I do think he can be a top 50 pick. And if we're talking top 50 at that point, you're looking for a team that is small, like the Jets maybe would be a good spot in the second round.
And they have a lot of picks.
And they have a lot of tiny receivers and not a lot of big receivers. I mean, Denzel Mims is like their big receiver and that hasn't worked out so well. So a place like that where, you know, he can just be something different. And I think he actually meshes really well with Zach Wilson because Zach Wilson is kind of a, you know, F it, he's out there somewhere kind of guy. And I think George Pickens will work really well with a quarterback that doesn't care that he's got 3 yards of separation or anything like that, because he probably won't have 3 yards of separation. He's kind of a, I'll throw to the back shoulder and let him go get it. So the Jets would be probably the dream spot. We'll see if that can happen.
How would you feel about giving him to Felix Sharp and I and sending him to Detroit?
Detroit would be another great spot. I'm not sure how well he messes with Jared Goff, so I'd want to see, you know, what they do at quarterback. Are you hoping that the Lions take a quarterback first or at the very top of the second, or what kind of moves are you hoping they make there?
I don't think we're going to.
Okay.
I know you asked what I'm hoping for, but I think we're going to have Jared Goff for another year and then probably try to dip into that 2023 draft for our quarterback. I don't think there's any quarterback that is definitely 100% a better option than Jared Goff at this point, to be completely honest with you. And the free agency pool for quarterbacks isn't really that much better, especially if quarterbacks keep retiring.
Yeah.
I know we've got some early picks, but I think that we're going to use them for different positions. And I think that Jared Goff is going to be our unquestionable starter. So I don't think we're going to draft anybody early enough to where Twitter's going to be like, oh, there's a competition coming. So I kind of hope we wait a year, to be honest with you, instead of just kind of keep wishing for, I don't think this is going to be the year for us in quarterback. I mean, even somebody like Davis Mills, like, is he definitely worse than every quarterback in this draft? You know, and I know Texans have the third overall pick, so they're in a prime spot to take a quarterback. But see, Austin, this is what I told you. Like, I will go off the rails.
No, I mean, I agree with you. We talked a little bit about this week on the Campus to Camp Pop. We were like, if you had Davis Mills now, where would you slot him in amongst these prospects? Like, I mean, I guess, the Malik Willises of the world, the Matt Corrals of the world probably have more upside. But we know at least Davis Mills won't, like, wreck your team if he's out there. And both those guys have the potential to just totally crater an offense. So it depends, you know, your risk tolerance level is definitely coming into play this year if you're drafting any of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of these wide receivers, too.
Yeah.
I'm still in the ship back over a little bit. I know Jared Goff
started kind of weak, but I think as he got more comfortable and he got some confidence from Campbell, I think he started to look a little bit better at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Lions would work for me. I mean, the thing about Pickens, I think he just, like, kind of like I alluded to with Zach Wilson there, like, his strength, he can separate. Like, I don't want to say that he's, you know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside all over again. I don't want to say that he's N'Keal Harry, because N'Keal Harry was, you know, probably limited to the slot, and Pickens is definitely an outside guy. But I think he's a better separator than either of those guys are. But it's not his bread and butter either. So, Zach Wilson is a really good quarterback for him because he doesn't care if you're open. Aaron Rodgers would probably be a bad fit because Aaron Rodgers cares if you're open. Jared Goff, I think, needs to see you open before he's throwing it as well. It's why Amon Ross St. Brown did so well with him. So that's kind of what scares me about a place like Detroit, assuming that Jared Goff would be the quarterback there again.
Yeah. So with that said, and those positive skill sets, what are some of the questions and concerns that you think might show his floor?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think everything George Pickens does, like, he flashes the ability to do it at a high level. So, like, he's flashed the ability to separate. He's flashed the ability to, you know, consistently win at the line of scrimmage. He's flashed the ability to be strong with the ball in his hands after the catch. Like, he's done all of these things, but he's never done it often enough to make you feel comfortable about that evaluation. And I think that's the negative about him. I think he gets a little lazy at times. I really, really do. I mean, people have questioned his mental makeup. And I think he is a little immature, but it's more Dez Bryant immature and less AB immature. I think those are definitely different categories. We call that, sure, you know, like knucklehead versus like dummy. I think he's definitely a knucklehead, but he's not a dummy yet. So like, knucklehead is the tenderer of the two nicknames. So I think he definitely falls there. And that's definitely a concern. I think it does leak into his game a little bit. And again, he's not going to test well athletically. He's coming off this knee injury, so I still think an underrated thing is he's going to have to check out medically. You know, we all think of an ACL as kind of just an automatic, you know, you're gone 9 months and you come back, but it's still something that he'll have to check out on. And I am a little worried that he was so good year one, and then years two and year three were so bad. And year three, ACL injury, played like four games. We can toss that out. But year two, he played in 8 games, COVID season, 36 catches, 513 yards, 6 touchdowns. Like, he wasn't great. A lot of that can be attributed to quarterback play. Like, if you overlay, it's really funny, his game logs, and you overlay Stetson Bennett, who was his quarterback for most of year two and then all of year three here, basically, and you overlay them, like, all of his awful games were with Stetson Bennett. And then as soon as he got JT Daniels in last year, like, it was just like 150 yards, 4, like 3 touchdowns, like 100, like, he just crushed it with a quarterback like JT Daniels that knew that you just throw it to George Pickens, you know where he's going to be, and he's going to get it. So that's like the positives and negatives are like a yin and yang thing with him. Can he kind of work those things out? And I think he needs to do it pretty quickly. You know, he's not going to have 3 years to figure out if he wants to play football in the NFL. So there are definitely some concerns there. He's definitely low floor, but I think if he wants to play, you know, this is a guy that has, like, this could be a guy that gets drafted in the second round, like Michael Thomas. And 2 years later, we're like, what the heck did we just allow to happen? There was no reason this guy shouldn't have been a top 15 pick. And that's kind of what George Pickens feels like to me.
Yeah. And that's a darn good feeling. Do you feel like, though, some of the negatives that you just brought up, the injury, missing that time and whatnot, some of the measurables, do you think that that has affected his consensus Debbie value or rookie value at this point going into the draft? Like, where do you think that that falls?
It definitely has. So for me, after his freshman year, he was the undisputed wide receiver one in his class. Wasn't particularly close for me. I mean, Garrett Wilson was close behind him, and he was, you know, another very highly rated kid in this class. Those two were kind of like the obvious stars coming out that ended up hitting very early. He's dropped a little bit, both for consensus and for me. You know, I think consensus probably has him as like wide receiver 8 or 9 in the class at this point. I have him as my wide receiver 5.
Okay.
Because I tried to react to it, but react like fairly. I still think there's a decent chance that he ends up the best wide receiver in this class. And that's why I think my wide receiver 5 ranking is a little bit of a hedge. Like, I think his ceiling is so much more than Jahan Dotson or Chris Olave or, you know, some of these other guys that, yeah, like, he might be a really good low-end wide receiver 2 for 8 years or whatever. But, like, George Pickens could be Michael Thomas. Like, he really, really could. He could also be N'Keal Harry. I think, you know, there's a very large spectrum here. And I do think consensus has adjusted to that. So I think if he ends up going round 2, I think you almost ignore what happened year 2, year 3 of college football. And you kind of go back to that first year and you say, he's got the nice draft capital now. The NFL obviously kind of sees what we saw year 1, and they still kind of have that locked in. And that's going to be the telling thing for me. If he drops to like pick 100, then you know that either, you know, the medicals did not check out, or he interviewed poorly, or like all these things that are red flags. And I think that'll tell you, like, don't go get George Pickens. But if he goes round 2 or earlier, that's when I think you're kind of saying, okay, now we're cooking a little bit here with this kid.
Yeah, I like it. And the comp, I mean, from Michael Thomas to Harry, I'm not even, that wasn't a comp, I shouldn't say, but I mean, the realistic expectations of a ceiling and floor are huge there. You had a tweet recently, Austin. Oh, God. It was about, I loved it. I'm not going to quote it. You said, in short, something about like one of the things that's not looked at enough is just the ability to let go of a player or a take. And you probably know what tweet I'm talking about at this point. You can probably say it better than I am. I'm trying to read your tweet in my memory. But I just saw it and I was just like, this right here. Like, sometimes that is so hard because you want your takes to all be successes eventually. But sometimes it's just like being able to let go at the right time while you still can and build your team in a different direction rather than just take lock. Or Felix Sharp said it. I think you probably listened to that show and he mentioned the unhealthy relationship. And yes, I think he nailed it with the unhealthy relationship. Or you build a relationship is what he said. I might have added the unhealthy part actually.
It was probably implied. Yeah, it definitely is. And Pickens is one of those guys that's ripe for that. Like, you know, big year one, you fall in love. You probably spent, you know, if you didn't already have George Pickens at that point, you probably spent a lot to get him. Now, you know, sunk cost fallacy comes into play and all of those kinds of things. And you're kind of trying to juggle all of that in your mind. And that's why I think, you know, I'm kind of waiting for the NFL to tell me what they think. And that's such a cop-out answer. So I apologize. It's like such a week.
I mean, hey, we're doing answer, this early, but, though. I mean, you mentioned the combine. We're not even there yet.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's a lot of steps still left in this. But I think there's a couple wide receivers in this class that are like this. Like, if the NFL gives me validation, then I'm all in. And if the NFL does not validate it, then I'm just out. Like, if Pickens goes, you know, pick 105 to whoever, he becomes like wide receiver 12 on my board. So I think, you know, I am hedging a little bit, and maybe I didn't follow my own advice. Maybe I haven't cut the ties quite as well as I had. But I think, you know, going from wide receiver 1 to wide receiver 5 was a pretty decent drop. And this is not, in my opinion, a very good wide receiver class. So Pickens is the kind of guy where I'll take a chance anyway, because after Garrett Wilson and after Treylon Burks, I don't feel good about any of these guys. Like, Jameson Williams has 1 year. Drake London, like, can he win on the boundary all the time? Like, you know, Chris Olave, year 4 guy, we don't like that. Jahan Dotson, year 4 guy, we don't like that. Like, all these guys have something wrong with them. There is no, you know, 10 out of 10 guys sitting out here that we just love. So this is the kind of class where maybe I am willing to to lean into that unhealthy relationship and say, okay, George, you're my guy. You've been my guy since day one. We're going to ride or die here. Come hang out with me for a couple more years. We're going to do some things.
It might not all be fun and games, but let's stick together.
Exactly.
You mentioned a handful of guys there, all at wide receivers. So, I mean, for this question, doesn't have to be a wide receiver, but who would you say your guy is in this 2022 draft?
Man, I am a known kind of hater. I think when I start off analyzing prospects, I kind of start off from the standpoint of like what's wrong with them, and then I make them sell themselves to me instead of vice versa. I think that skepticism is healthy.
Yeah,
and it kind of, you know, I think it's worse for me to miss on a guy that ends up being, you know, pretty good that I just, you know, I saw some things that I didn't like, than to just like buy in on everybody and just keep swinging and missing. Like, I think the alternate is worse and it hurts you in the long term more. So, man, I hate this class so freaking much, man. Like, I've sold like all my picks everywhere, like in my campus leagues where like,
I like to hear this. This is, yeah.
Yeah. Like when you, like we, you know, it's a college fantasy, a dynasty team and an NFL dynasty team, and all your college players, like, should they make it to the NFL? They make that transition. Most of my teams have like three guys coming up this year. Like, I just have completely said, like, this class is not for me. Like, I'm sure there will be good players, but it, like, none of the profiles feel good enough to make me want to bet on any of these guys. Mm-hmm. If I had to put a flag plant guy, I do like Isaiah Spiller a lot. I like George Pickens a lot. And I do think, and this is like, I think Chris Olave is going to be better than people give him credit for. I think people say he's a year four guy. For anybody that isn't necessarily familiar with the analytics, usually if you're a year four guy, like, you probably, there was basically something wrong with you, and that's why you didn't leave school early. But Chris Olave hits like all of the age adjusted metrics. I truly think he just went back to school because he wanted to try to win a national championship. Like, I think the NFL said, like, you'll be a day two guy or like an early day two guy or whatever. And he was like, nah, screw it. Like, I think we can run this thing back. So like, he's a guy where actually I think I might end up being higher on him because everyone's saying, yeah, year four. And I'm like, well, like, the context is kind of important. And like, I don't know that that matters so much with him. So those are just, you know, Spiller, Pickens, Olave are kind of guys that I'm probably targeting pretty heavily if I don't already have them, just due to the nature of the formats that I play a lot of.
Yeah, I like it. I've been starting to like Chris Olave a lot too, actually. So you mentioned something back there about how you start to look into players and the idea that you want them to prove it to you, and you kind of go into it a little bit against them. I love that you mentioned that, and because that's something I'll do with a lot of dynasty things, and not just like the guys coming in, but some of the echo chambers and like a little bit of that herd mentality. I know that that seems so negative, but I just believe in herd mentality. It's a real thing. But you, a lot of times when that starts to happen, that's when I start to look at it a different way. I don't just like, okay, everybody's like eating this food, it must be good, you know, I'm gonna just go there too, but I want to find out like why or why it isn't. Like, I want to lean in pretty hard and go a little bit against it and try to learn different things. And I think that that is a tough trait to find, and I'm not even trying to like boost my own horn there, but I think that like sometimes you just have to look at things a little bit differently and not just like fall in love too quickly.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes with some of these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that said, who's somebody that you're just staying away from in this draft? They didn't win you over. The unhealthy relationship is done. You broke up.
Some of these guys, we didn't even like get a first date. Like, it just never happened. So I hate this quarterback class. Like, just straight up like hate it. There is nobody in this class that I feel good about projecting. Again, you know, as I kind of said earlier, like, I'm sure there might be one quarterback that ends up becoming something from this class. Like, I don't want to be the guy guessing who that is with what you have to spend to get some of these guys. So I'm out on all the quarterbacks. Beyond that, like, I think I'm probably not going to have a lot of Jameson Williams or Drake London either. Two guys that I think are popular, fringe-ish top three wide receivers. You know, a consensus is probably some order of Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks. And one of those guys seems to occupy most third spots. I think they both have a lot of issues. And so I like Jameson Williams, like, he's fast, and I think he does show some nuance. I'm a little concerned. He's only done it 1 year. Can't, you know, is he a, a target hog in the NFL. I'm skeptical. Drake London, kind of the opposite issue. I want to see how he tests. I still don't think he separated great last year. Like, people are like, well, like, he played the slot as a junior or as a sophomore. Like, he didn't have to separate. Like, they schemed him open, like, whatever. Like, let's see what he can do. They did it this year. And, like, every single big catch that he made has two guys draped all over him. Like, it's shit. Like, so I can't fall in love with either of those guys. I'll take a chance on George Pickens over both, who I can probably get, you know, half a round to a full round later in rookie drafts with probably similar upside. So those are probably the guys. And don't start me out, like, the running back class, like, it's just, like, yucky. Like, I feel like usually there's some guys I like, but I just hate this class. I just hate this class.
I love that. Definitely, like, some mixed reviews you hear about all those players coming in. So it'll be tough, because I actually noticed doing these Rookie Fever player profiles that I start to build unhealthy relationships with the players that you like and the players that the other people I interview like. You start to, like, get so into it with them. So it'll be hard for me to not build some of those unhealthy relationships. That said, wrapping this up a little bit here, what is some advice that you have for people either going into their rookie drafts, maybe some life advice, maybe just some campus to Canton advice, a final thought for our listeners?
Oh, final thought, loaded question. I mean, I think just, you know, approaching everything in fantasy, and I mean, I am like this in life too. It's kind of sad, actually, with a healthy amount of skepticism. Like, I really think, you know, like in life, if a player is too good to be true, sit down, and you might not know what you're watching, but you know, if you're a dynasty player and you know, it's more than just, I play with a couple buddies, once the season's over, I you know, I plug back in July, and then, like, you know, if you watch football, you know what you like. You've watched Adrian Peterson just destroy people. You've watched, you know, Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson, and, you know, you've watched all these guys. You know what you like. Go sit down. These games are available on YouTube, and just do a little bit of it yourself. You don't have to study it. You don't have to take notes. And I do like that George Pickens guy. I do like that Wandale Robinson guy. Or, you can, you know, I don't know if I like that Wandale, you know, and that's fine too. But I think, you know, that healthy amount of skepticism is good. And quite frankly, I think will make you a better player in any format that you're doing.
And also, I would say that probably follow Austin on Twitter. That's at Debbie Dietz. You see a lot of the Campus to Canton guys giving out promos to the site, perking things up, giving you little tidbits of secrets. I saw you the other day. You said, give us a player. I'll tell you where they're ranked. Definitely follow these guys on Twitter, what they're doing. Check out that site. Anything else you want to talk about on your way out here?
No, just thank you so much again for having me. And, you know, I know I talked about kind of, we have this guide coming out. We have, this guide is going to be tied to three other major announcements that we have coming, a full renovation of the website. We've had somebody come in and completely rebuild it from scratch. Basically, the website will now basically, campus2canton.com will basically have three distinct sections on it. Campus to Canton dedicated, Debbie dedicated, CFF, College Fantasy dedicated, complete with rankings, ADP for every single one of them, in-house ADP, all sorts of different features. A tool that is useful for helping you draft. If you're in a Campus Canton draft and you're curious, what's the best Debbie guy? We're going to have a tool that all the rankings feed into one place. You can just slide the slider. It says, you know, what's the best Debbie guy still on the board? You slide it all the way to Debbie. They'll tell you that. If you're saying, I want some college production this year, you slide it the other way. It gives you a list. So it's a lot of different cool tools that you can play around with. We're trying to get this stuff as customizable as possible, because we know your leagues are as customizable as possible. So that, we have all this different stuff coming out. Go check it out. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Do it. Do it. Do it. Wow. Do it.
That's exciting. And I asked you if you had anything else to add at the end of the show. You're like, nah, not really. But holy cow.
I'm in such that, like, awesome. Because this has been coming for like a month or two now. I'm in such, like, you know, secret vault mode. So now, okay. So now, yeah, it felt good to get it off my chest. So I'm glad. This was like a therapy session here. thank you so much. It's been, you know, a load off my back now. And now I can go about my day.
Oh, I love it. Follow at Campus to Canton on Twitter, at Debbie Dietz. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. And we are out.
got the one-on-one scouting. It's never done this stupid throw and run. I told you anyone size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No, you're for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.